Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the After Hour Sessions podcast. This is your host D-Rock, and today I am honored, humbled to be with someone who is a legend in the industry, legend in the session wrestling industry, legend in bodybuilding, legend in motivational speaking, just someone overall just badass. And I got the honor to meet her last year, and this is just like I'm pinching myself because not only is she on the show, which is cool, but we get to do it in person. So I have the legendary KO with me, and I want to thank you so much. I know you're busy, so for taking the time to come on After Hour Sessions podcast. Thank you.
You're welcome. We've been trying to set this up for 2 years.
I think. First was with Hans.
Yep.
You were in Australia.
Yep.
And then, we met last year. When I sat down for your documentary, which was cool, like a cool experience.
Yeah.
And then now, so like, this is just, I'm like, this is actually happening. This is cool.
Patience pays off. You're very flexible. And, you know, I was just like, I'm hard to pin down, you know.
So well, you're a busy woman.
Yeah.
You are a busy woman. So how are you?
I'm good. I'm currently, as you can see, icing my shoulder. I was pushing overhead pressing a 150-pound guy earlier. He was kind of jerking around a little bit. I'm pushing 42 now, so it's like I feel like I've gotten obviously better with age. You know, I've gotten stronger. I've gotten more skilled.
Right.
I somehow have not, like, for the amount of drugs I've done, have not aged terribly bad. You know, look at some of my peers and I'm like, damn, you know, like, shit, you should put that meth down a long time ago. But not drinking, I think, plays a really big part, obviously. So I feel like I've gotten better with time, but I will say, you know, it's frustrating to like get all these little niggles. And, you know, I am just looking at this tour coming up. I'm going 5 different countries.
Wow.
And I'm on the road for 30 days, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, I'm not 30 years old anymore, you know? Yeah. So I still enjoy it and love it, but yeah, I'm like, just had the realization after I flew out to Atlanta from Vegas. I was like, what am I doing? So, you know, aside from all that, I'm pretty good.
Okay. Now, first is, I'm still impressed. But I've seen you on, you know, your Instagram page and Twitter and stuff. So I know you still do it. But a lot of people who do sessions, who used to do lift and carry, kind of like stopped. Or they have do you have like a weight limit now? You said a 150-pound guy overhead press is very impressive. And like, is that something like you always want to keep doing? Or are you starting to kind of rethink, like, maybe I got to readjust
dial it
the
back
lift.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Who knows? I know no limits, you know. I guess that's why I'm like forever an addict through and through. But I mean, as far as like cradles and piggybacks and shoulder rides and all that stuff, like 200 pounds is easy sailing. But yeah, like I'd have to say, you know, things like doing overhead presses and stuff, just because there's so much involved with your shoulders that, you know, it's really easy to get injured. And it's funny because, you know, it always seems to be the lift and carry guys that want to fucking barter as well.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like, do you not understand? This is like the most strenuous amount of work because, you know, grappling-wise, it's rare that I go up against somebody that's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially since I started training no-gi consistently, like it's gotten a lot easier.
Okay.
So the more I train, the longer I think I'll be able to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely like the lift and carry stuff where you gotta, you know, be mindful.
Is overhead press for lift and carry, is that like the holy grail?
Yeah.
That's what I think too. I
Yeah.
love lift and carry too,
Yeah.
so I always think, yeah, that's the one. Like, if you can pull that off, that's like, oh, like
Yeah,
you get it.
somebody wants to fly me up to Seattle, I think it is. He wants me to gorilla press him. And I was like, sure, we can give it a go. But after today, I don't know.
So something that for me, because I think I might have said this to you when we met last year, is when I first saw you, it was for me being a fan of CT Fletcher, following his YouTube page, and I saw you there, you and Allie, like, first appeared. I'm like, oh, these ladies are awesome. I want to, me and my mind go, so I'm like, let me deep dive more into them. And that's where I was like, oh, KO Courtney, she's great. But it was years later when I found out that you were even into like the mixed wrestling, session wrestling domination world, and that was like way after I was already a fan of yours.
Oh, that's so funny.
So like
Right,
that for me, it was opposite. That was like by like a happy surprise. So
right.
like how, and the thing, I gotta be honest, so for people, you guys can't see, but I'm pulling up Courtney's book, Crushing It: How I Smashed Diet Culture, Addiction, and the Patriarchy. So I'm be real with her. Like, I have a cheat here because I have her book, but I just, for our audience, like, how did you find out about this world?
I love that. I found, as you know, an ad on Craigslist, and I was selling cars at the time. And I was, prior to that, doing like topless modeling and, implied nude and stuff like that. I did some more risque stuff when I was younger, before when I was smoking meth. And then, I found myself after being clean. I got clean July 4th or July 5th, 2007, off meth. And then,
Congratulations.
thank you, 90 days went by, give or take. And I ended up hurting my back. And I got on pain pills. And that, morphed into a pretty gnarly addiction. I mean, it was manageable, but, I was always looking for extra cash. And I was on there looking for, modeling gigs. And I saw Rick Dobbins had posted, a muscular calf video shoot. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Are you serious? I was like, well, this must be porn. I was like, let me take a picture of my calves then, shit. And so I did, and I sent it to him. And next thing I knew, he was up in my office. And because I just absolutely hated my job. I was a, internet sales manager for 9 car dealerships, and it just felt so stuck, like doing that whole 9 to 5, and of course taking pain pills. Like, I was not working a program of recovery and just feeling really shitty. Like, I had no self-love, I had no direction, I had no purpose. And it was just a really shitty time. So coming across that, it was kind of serendipitous, because I had no idea what it was going to lead to. I just was like, fuck, $100 an hour, like, sign me up. And from there, I went down to his place. And then Trey came through from FemFlex, and we did a shoot at the same time, after Rick had did some filming. And I'm like, so what you want? He was like, okay, calling out front double bicep. And I'm like, a what? I just had no clue. And then Kelly, Rick's wife, came home from the gym, or she was training somebody. And then she was talking about a session she had later on that night, like a foot session. And I'm like, what? Wait, what do you mean? Somebody's gonna pay you to worship your feet? Like, is this real life? I was like, yeah, okay, worship your feet, because you just don't have a clue. And this was 2008, I want to say. If not, it was definitely 2009. Pretty sure it was like the end of 2008. And back then, this was before Instagram and Facebook. Like, I just gotten on Facebook in 2008, but you don't realize at that time, what all this stuff is. Whereas now, I think, a lot of women are more exposed to the fact that the world is not what we think it is, and beauty is not, you know, what's on the cover of a magazine. So this whole experience wasn't just like, oh wow, cool, it's a little side hustle. Like, it revolutionized my life because it allowed me to see that everything was a facade in regards to what I thought was desirable and beautiful. Right. But the fucked up thing is even, you know, whilst doing sessions for like that year and a half and still using pain pills, I was not a fan of myself, if you will. Like, I'd hear, I was bodybuilding, you know, I was weight training, and it's not like I was out of control. Like, I was very functional at it. And, you know, I'd hear like, oh, muscle goddess, and how great I was, you know, I was fucking KO, you know, and new on the scene, didn't fuck with gear. So I was very feminine and young. And then guys would leave and I would just be stuck back with my thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, so I had no idea of like, why can't I stay happy? And like, why are all these guys seeing all this like amazing shit about me and being like, oh my God, you know? Because I was truly interested as well. Like, I love people and I'm very much an empath and, you know, extrovert, and so I would.
Yeah. So you're naturally curious.
Yeah. I was like, how the fuck did you get into, as you probably read, like, how'd you get into ball busting? Like you're an accountant. Like,
right.
What? You know, this like cute little Puerto Rican guy. And he was like, you know, yeah, I saw a can rolling around in the street, like an aluminum can, and a car drove by and crushed it. And he remembered getting turned on, and I think he said he was with his parents, and then that just kind of one thing led to another. And I'm like, wow, this shit is so fascinating. And, you know, like the guy I had today with the lift and carry stuff, he said he was embarrassed too. And that always makes me sad. Like, yeah. Even just saying that, it makes, like, I feel tears well up in my eyes, which is super fucking bizarre. It's like, I feel his shame, and I'm like, you don't need to be embarrassed. Or I'm like, do you understand how big of a, and you know, I used to say fetish, but my understanding now is it's a kink.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like, a fetish is something that you have to have in order to reach sexual climax. Mm-hmm. Right? And like a kink is just something you're kind of into.
Right.
Well, like, obviously, like, really into for some guys. Yeah, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Fuck, you need to go to Lift and Carry Anonymous.
Yeah,
you know?
right.
So
I can be guilty of that sometimes. I can't lie. Sometimes I think I've gotten better, but
Yeah, it's interesting. And he said it started, you know, when his sister's friends, when they were younger, would play, like, chicken fights and stuff like that, which I'm imagining was in the water.
Yeah, in the pool.
Yeah, something. So, and he just loves it. He's like, this will be my last session. And so, of course, unless your friend Sheena comes out here, I'll see her. Okay, yeah. Laughed, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, it's very interesting. But
why do you think you because you've done it and been popular for you know, you said 2008, which I hope people get, for that's how, and we still have such a long way to go, but that's not that long ago.
Right.
2008, and, you know, it's not like, oh, you're going, you know, back, like, oh, in the 60s, 2008, and it's still, like, it's such a different world, and we've made progress, but still have a long way to go, like, long, but why do you think you still feel, in your opinion, like, when, like, that guy talks about feeling embarrassed or shamed, and, like, I know you're an empath, but, like, why do you think it's still, because you've probably heard a lot of stories.
Ton.
You know? And I've heard a lot, so I know you've heard more. So, like, why do you think that still hits you even now?
Because I feel for men. Like, and you might have seen me post about this on social media before, where I feel, you know, my heart goes out to men because you carry so much burden in regards to what your societal roles are. And even though for anybody listening that follows me, you know, the last several years have all been about girl and female empowerment and all this kind of stuff, which is, you know, where my heart is, and I love empowering women. And but, you know, I've kind of fallen back into wanting to work with men because, you know, with women, the drive for me initially was my own body dysmorphia. Because, you know, when I started, like I said, I was so fucked up in the head. Like, I remember getting ready for my first show, and I remember looking down at my abs. I literally had, like, an 8-pack, and I was like, this isn't good enough. This is disgusting. Yeah. Or, you know, I remember one time going to Costco, and I wrote about it in the book. Like, I didn't have any jeans that fit, and I just felt like such a fat, disgusting piece of shit. Like, I was so fucked up in my head. Like, I sat down on the floor of the closet and just sobbed and literally was consumed with suicidal thoughts. And I'm like, it's just, you know, it's wrapped up with addiction as well. And like eating disorders, just, it's all mental illnesses, you know?
Absolutely.
So, but when I started out doing this stuff, I considered it like, you know, being a men's rights activist. Cause one of the only classes I remember from college was men's mental health, or was it just men's health, actually? Sorry, it was men's health. How I wound up with that as an elective, I'll never know. I might have picked it because the doctor's last name was Dr. Courtenay or something.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Will Courtenay. And, you know, learning all these roles and how men have a higher suicide rate. And, you know, one can argue that's because men use more lethal force, such as shotguns, versus women mm-hmm. with pills and so forth. But nonetheless, you know, I just realized, like, fuck, you guys don't have permission from society to be vulnerable. And like I said in my posts, I'm like, if my husband came home and had a bad day and was crying and whatever, I'd be like, fucking harden up, dude. You know, even though I love him and I care about him and I would be concerned, you know, and I don't want to see him crying. But there's that subconscious part where we are programmed by societal norms to think, like, why are you crying, you little bitch?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so unacceptable. But then at the same time, you look at where we are with society today, and men are being emasculated, and, you know, the this concept of toxic masculinity. It's like all these narratives have popped up.
Yeah.
And men are now more confused than ever in regards to, well, what the fuck am I supposed to be? Right? You know, and women can do it themselves. And so part of me is kind of like swung back the other direction. And I'm like, well, fuck, have I played too much of a role in, you know... In saying that out loud, and I know I didn't even complete my sentence, I'm going to say I have not, because with my female empowerment platform, it's been more about body acceptance and, you know, getting outside of the prison of self-pity. And,
you know,
it's not been like, I don't need a man, fucking
right?
You know what I mean? Because I've never really considered myself to be a feminist, even though I suppose, according to Merriam-Webster, technically I am, but I also don't agree with, you know, there's all these different waves. And, you know, I remember one of the first conspiracy theories I watched was around how feminism was created by the Rockefellers to break up the family nucleus and be able to tax the other half of the population, right? Which is super fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
And the fact that, you know, I never wanted kids. I don't have a motherly instinct in me, despite the fact that I'm very empathetic and, you know, caring. I see children and I'm like, eh, you know, like it's not my jam. Or I see a pregnant woman, like, who's really pregnant, and I like want to vomit. I'm like,
no, I know what
you know what I mean? Like,
no,
it's not my thing.
My friend Robin is like, because like she's a great. She's like an awesome aunt and godmom.
Yeah.
So it's not like the idea of a child is like, whoa. And I've seen you be like, you're a mentor to a lot of, so it's not
So
like, oh, a child, why do we even have children on this planet? It's not like that, but it's a different, I'm an uncle and I don't want to have kids and I love my niece, But there's a big difference from being an uncle, and I've been a godfather, to like being a, when it comes to like seeing my brother be a dad, I go, God bless you. I don't want that.
Right,
Like,
right.
I wanna say see ya, and I can go home. But
Yeah,
like,
put that fucker away. Yeah,
So it,
man.
but I'm an empathetic person too, but people don't get it. I like that you said that, because it's still a difference. You know what I
Yeah, a
mean?
hundred
Like,
percent. It is concerning though, looking at, the plummet in birth rates. And, I do still detest women being told what they can and cannot do with their body. That is between a woman and her higher power, period.
Absolutely.
But I do think, I got to a point where I was like, ah, because I'd kicked around the idea of having kids for a couple of years after, like, I don't know, I got to like 38. And ironically, it was basically when I hit perimenopause, which is quite young for, a woman. And I'm kind of coming out the other side of it right now, because most women don't start hitting perimenopause until like 50. And for me, it's like it's been super early, but that's hereditary. Same thing happened to my mom, but I missed the window. Like, my eggs just like up and ran, like, bye. So it does kind of make me slightly sad, because I'm like, well, fuck, I missed that window, because I would have, you want to see your genes live on, where you're like, damn, stupid people keep breeding more and more, and
No,
you know what I mean? It's
I
like,
know what you
holy
mean.
shit,
I
what the
know what you mean.
fuck?
Yeah,
I just watched you throw a whole bag of McDonald's out of your fucking car window, you cunt.
trust me, I deal, you heard what I, and the audience
Right.
has too, what I deal with every day. And a lot of times it is children and youth involved and this and that. And it's just like, you're here to help. And then it gets to being like, I gotta pump the brakes. And it may sound mean, and forgive me if it does, but I have to say, no, I'm here to help when I can. But ultimately, I've had to tell so many people this, KO. I wasn't there when you made the child. I didn't get any of the fun you had or whatever when you made it. So, like, you're not going to put down the responsibility, because it'll become, what about my kids who are doing it? And I'm like, I just met you yesterday. So
Right.
I'm like, whatever happened, I'm not saying it's your fault. I don't know. That's between you and whoever. So when you write your list, that's your business. But if you're not putting my name on it, I didn't cause you this. I'm here to help you, but you can't blame me now either. So like, it's not, these aren't my children. I'm here to help. I want to help these kids, but don't put this. It's all, I've heard that line. It's up to you what happens.
Yeah,
Like, you're not gonna put that on me now. Like,
right.
no. Like, you can get some people with that, but you can't get me with that.
Right.
Like, no.
No,
So
sir.
I trust me. I hear you. I deal. I see it every day.
Yeah,
Every day, it's
yeah,
tough.
yeah.
It really is.
So I just, to answer your question, I think it's, I just, again, I feel for men, and, finding that balance. Like, when I went to rehab, and I can't remember if I wrote about this in the book as well, but the head doctor at St. Helena Hospital, she came in. Everybody's fucking tore back. I think I was on like day three of being clean. I was 21, and I'm in there with a bunch of older people. And she comes in, and she's like talking her thing and whatever, and talking about alcoholism. And she's like, "So what's the purpose of life?" Everyone's like, shouting out different answers. Find happiness, buy a house and white picket fence and success. And she's like, "Yeah, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, what are we trying to achieve here?" And for whatever reason, I just spouted out the words balance. And she lost her shit. She was like, yes. And she started jumping up and down. And she's like, that's exactly it. And I'll never forget that, because it's come up so many times where I'm like, fuck, yeah, finding balance. Like, where do we find balance between the body positive movement, right? And then saying, okay, well, you've gotten to a point where you're recording all the fucking food you eat in a day, and you're pushing body positive, which, by the way, is a movement that started within the fat black community, and it's kind of fucked up, because as a white woman, I had my own issues, right? And it even though it wasn't like, because women are subjectively way more predisposed or predispositioned to fat issues, if you will, right? Or surrounding health, so having to do with endometriosis, PCOS. Women are 70% more likely to develop autoimmune disease and thyroid issues like hyperthyroidism, Hashimoto's, and all that, or lipedema. And lipedema only affects women, and that's actually called the fat disease. You know, and you see women when they're really skinny up top, and then they've got like those pipes for legs, and there's no ankle.
I've only seen about it from Instagram the past 3 or 4. I didn't know what that was until seeing people, women talk about it on Instagram. I had no idea.
Yeah, like they literally, no matter what the fuck they do, they cannot lose weight, and it's sad. So you know, you never know what someone is going through, but at the same time, you know, you're like, well, fuck. You know, where do you draw the line and take responsibility and make some changes in your life?
True.
You know, because legit, you be positive and enjoy your life and keep eating all that food, but your organs are not healthy. You're not happy. You know, so it's like, again, it's like finding balance and everything, right? So with men, it's like being able to find balance, because, you know, there's this one guy who I was supposed to actually have a session with, and he didn't show up because he's like, oh, I can't make it that far from work to the airport. I'm like, well, why the fuck didn't you say something? But anyway, he likes to be financially dominated. And I'm like, okay, well. And he had had a few drinks and was texting me, and I'm just like, I don't feel right. Like, it doesn't feel good. I'm like, dude, why? And why are you doing this to yourself? And then he was, you know, calling his wife fat. I'm like, you guys have kids? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, she gets a hall pass. All
Absolutely.
right. I was like, and what about you? And he's like, yeah, I know. Da da da. And I said, man, why don't you fucking take that money and invest in your health? Like, go get a coach, hire me as a coach. You know, I don't want to sit here and be like, send me your money. Like, that's not what I want to hear. And so, where you find balance between, you know, enjoying your kink, but also not to such an extent where you're not taking care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, cool, you want to be financially dominated, or you want to be fucking humiliated, or whatever it is. But, right, are you being a leader in your everyday life?
And that's,
100%. Because our society needs more men to step up and lead. You know, because there is something to be said about having that feminine and masculine energy. You know, and it's something I'm exploring as well, because I definitely lack the feminine energy. I am not in flow. I am not in the creative zone. I'm not in that nurturing mode. Even though I'm, you know, very approachable and caring, but I'm very masculine in the sense, because which is evidently, so I've been told, you know, from childhood, because I had to raise myself. You know, I grew up with an alcoholic mother, so I was always in control and making decisions. And so that is a masculine energy, because all we are is energy at the end of the day, period. Even this table that your computer is sitting on, right? You blow it up, they're, you know, all oscillating fucking plonks and, you know, atoms, and shit's way above my pay grade.
Me too,
But
me too.
yeah, dude. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's
No.
interesting.
And I know we could talk, but I know you have a session coming up. So I'm just so appreciative that we were able to do this and talk. And I hope this is the first, but hopefully not the last, because A, I enjoy just and have so much appreciation for the way you've impacted me and how you've really helped my life. And I'm dead serious in saying that. So I just wanted to say thank you, and thank you, KO, for being on the show. And that's After Hours Sessions. Take care.